A few days before their graduation, with a drastic change in life facing them, they realized that Asher baseball would soon be behind them. They would never be as close as they had been during the past year. A celebration was needed, a particularly memorable night of hell-raising. At the time, Oklahoma City had three strip clubs. They selected a fine one called the Red Dog, and before heading out, they took a fifth of whiskey and a six-pack of beer from the Leba kitchen. They left Asher with the loot, and by the time they arrived at the Red Dog, they were drunk. They ordered more beer and watched the strippers, who grew prettier by the minute. Lap dances were called for, and the two boys began burning through their cash. Bruce's father had laid down a strict 1 a.m. curfew, but the lap dances and the booze kept pushing it back. They finally staggered out around 12:30 a.m., 2 hours from home. Bruce, driving his new souped-up Camaro, sped away, but stopped suddenly when Ron said something that upset him. They began cursing each other and decided to settle the matter then and there. They spilled out of the Camaro and began fist-fighting in the middle of 10th Street. After a few minutes of slugging and kicking, both grew weary and agreed on a quick truce. They got back in the car and resumed their drive home. Neither could remember the cause of the fight. It was just one of the night's details, forever lost in a fog. Bruce missed an exit, took a wrong turn, then, very lost, decided to make a long loop on some unknown country roads, heading back, he thought, in the general direction of Asher. With the curfew blown, he was flying across the countryside. His cohort was comatose in the back seat. Things were very dark until Bruce saw red lights approaching rapidly from the rear. He remembered stopping in front of the Williams Meatpacking Company, but wasn't sure what town was nearby. Wasn't sure of the county either. Bruce got out of the car. The state trooper was very nice and asked if he'd been drinking. "Yes, sir." "Did you realize you were speeding?" "Yes, sir." They chatted, and the officer seemed to have little interest in writing a ticket or making an arrest. Bruce had convinced him that he could drive safely home, when suddenly Ron stuck his head out the back window and yelled something incomprehensible in a thick, slurry voice. "Who's that?" the officer asked. "Just a friend." The friend yelled something else, and the state trooper told Ron to get out of the car. For some reason, Ron opened the door away from the highway, and when he did, he fell into a deep ditch. Both were arrested and taken to jail, a cold, damp place with a shortage of beds. A jailer threw two mattresses on the floor of a tiny cell, and there they spent the night, shivering, terrified, still drunk. They knew better than to call their fathers. For Ron, it was the first of many nights behind bars. The next morning, the jailer brought them coffee and bacon and advised them to call home. Both did with great hesitation, and 2 hours later they were released. Bruce drove his Camaro home alone, while Ron, for some reason, was forced to ride in the car with Mr. Leba and Mr. Williamson. It was a very long 2-hour ride, made even longer by the prospect of facing Coach Bowen. Both fathers insisted that the boys go straight to their coach and tell the truth, which they did. Merle gave them the silent treatment, but did not withdraw their nominations for postseason honors. They made it to graduation without further incident. Bruce, the class salutatorian, gave a well-honed speech. The commencement address was delivered by the Honorable Frank H.C., a popular district court judge from next door in Seminole County.